This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Ariana Khalid joins us. She is Deputy Secretary of Health and Human Resources here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. She joins us on the long line from her office in the capital city, Big Richmond. What's the weather like over there?
Oh, it's actually quite nice. I haven't gotten a chance to get out today, but it's quite nice.
Well, you're a hard worker, that's why. It's good to hear your voice. I've been really looking forward to the conversation, and we want to talk about healthcare in America, but specifically in Virginia and how it's working here. And you know, you can't turn on the news without hearing that the healthcare situation. We have a bit of a crisis in America with so many uninsured and what it means. And it's at the top of the list for all of the candidates when they're talking about their platforms and why they want to be president. Right up there with the economy and the situation in Iraq and Afghanistan, they all talk about healthcare. So we want to talk about that. Before we do, give us a little Ariana Khalid 101, like where you're from and how you got to be working in healthcare in government.
Sure. I'm actually originally from Houston, Texas, but I went to the University of Virginia. Best decision I ever made. I know everyone in Charlottesville is cheering right now. So I went to UVA. I graduated as a systems engineer, and I went to work in the private sector doing computer programming, and I hated it. And I'd always kind of had this interest in healthcare. I was actually pre-med and in engineering at the same time, but decided med school wasn't really for me. And while I was working programming, I came across this master's called the Master's of Health Administration, and I thought, well, that would be really interesting. I would work in a hospital, running the hospital, and I thought that would be really fascinating to look at healthcare. And so I did. I went to my master's and got it here at VCU, which is one of the top programs in the country, so kudos to them. And I worked for a hospital company called HCA. It's the largest hospital chain in the country, and I really enjoyed it. I was in their chief operating officer development program, had a great time. But one of the things I realized, sorry for the long story, but to kind of explain how I got to policy and government work, one of the reasons, what I realized in the hospital is that the hospital is really a place where they take the system that we have today and they do the best they can with it. And I would keep coming up with, well, why don't we do more preventative services, or why don't we get out in the community and figure out a way to get people more insurance, or why aren't we looking at the person more holistically and not just waiting until they have a big acute intervention, you know, a heart attack and come in? Why don't we try to get out there and reach them first? And that's just really not the hospital's role. I think it's part of their role, but really their role at the end of the day is you want someone there if you have an acute, you know, a huge car accident or you need an acute intervention. That's what they're there for.
Right, right.
And they do a great job at that. So as I started asking these questions, I really started thinking about, well, what do I want to do? And this job opportunity kind of fell in my lap. And I said, you know what, this would be a really great opportunity and I can do more of the things that I'm really interested in.
So and the policies set by our governments, state and federal governments, the policies, those healthcare policies sort of create an environment in which the hospitals have to function.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. They kind of have, they're given the system. And unfortunately, with our, especially if you look at Medicare and Medicaid, they're our largest payers. And when you look at them, what they incent is if you have to go in for surgery because you had a heart attack, you get paid, you know, $20,000, $30,000, whatever that number may be. It's a big number. But when you look at what a primary care physician gets paid to maybe manage your high blood pressure so you don't get the heart attack, it's a much smaller number. So the incentives are almost perverse or they're misaligned. Of course, you have to pay a lot more for surgery. You have high fixed costs. You know, you have a lot of high-cost surgical equipment and devices. But I feel like there's a better way to align our incentives so that maybe we provide people more chronic care management, more preventative care, have the PCP spend more time understanding their patient instead of just this rote going through patient every 8 minutes, 8 minutes, 8 minutes, because that's how they're paid, is on the amount of patients they see versus the kind of care that we give them. So that's what I saw in the hospital, and I just felt, you know, if I really want to change this system, I need to be working in health policy. That's the way to change it. It's not necessarily going to change from the hospital's perspective.
Ariana Khalid is Deputy Secretary of Health and Human Resources for the Commonwealth of Virginia. We're honored to have her on the phone. She's also a member of the Class of 2008 Political Leaders Program at the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership at the University of Virginia. When we turn on the news and we see all this healthcare crisis in Virginia and the number of uninsured is going up. You've talked a little bit about how the system may not be ideal, but what is the real problem? When you can boil it down to like one, two, or three things, what is the problem in America or in Virginia when it comes to healthcare?
Sure. I think if we're talking about the uninsured, the biggest problem, in my opinion, is affordability. I think most people would love to have health insurance. I think they see the value in it. I mean, when you look at, for example, car insurance, most people have that. And granted, there's a lot of rules that say you have to have it, but most people have it because it's affordable. When you look at healthcare, especially if we're talking about low-income workers, it's just not affordable. It's when we talk about affordability in healthcare, particularly for those in low-income brackets, we're talking about only taking up about 5% of their salary each year. Well, if you're talking about a base of, you know, $20,000 a year, that's not a whole lot of money, and that can't really buy any products on the market, even if your employer is helping subsidize part of it. So we end up with a system that people just can't afford to buy into, so they can't participate. So I think, for me, that is the biggest issue when we talk about the uninsured. When we're talking about healthcare more globally, I think some of the biggest issues we face, aside from the uninsured, are issues in the healthcare workforce. We love to talk about the uninsured, I think, and it is a very important topic, and we should be talking about it. But one thing people don't realize is, even if we got insurance to everybody today, we'd still have some problems with access to care because we don't have enough providers to provide the care. So our workforce is crucially aligned with getting people uninsured and getting them the appropriate access to quality care. So we really have to think about our workforce and how do we get more people into the medical specialties, into the nursing profession, into mental health, just all these different professions, into imaging techs and pharmacy techs and pharmacists. I mean, there's just, you can go on and on about all the different professions in healthcare. Almost every single one has a shortage. That's a huge issue. And I think the third biggest issue is the aging of our population. People keep talking about the tsunami with the baby boomers, I believe in 2011, reaching the first set of baby boomers reaching Medicare age. Well, it really is a huge tsunami that's coming. We're going to see a huge new population entering into Medicare. And what is that going to mean for the federal system? What is that going to mean for, not so much for states, because we only really do Medicaid, but it's still going to have some effect on states and what services they provide. And again, what workforce is going to provide these services to folks? Because as we age, it's inevitable we tend to have more health issues and tend to have to see the physician more and require more medications and services. So for me, I think those are the three issues: the unaffordability of health insurance, the aging of our population, and our workforce and the shortages that we face.
You know what I'm interested in? We're talking with Arianna Khalid, Deputy Secretary of Health and Human Resources for Virginia. I'm interested in, you know, given these problems, what's working out there? I mean, is it, you know, I sort of see the 50 states as 50 little laboratories, and they're all sort of experimenting with healthcare and trying to fix these problems. What might be working out there that's worth a second or third look that Virginia may not be doing?
Sure. I think that's a great question. And I think you're absolutely right. Our states are like little laboratories, and it's great to be able to be in state government and kind of work with your other state counterparts and understand what they're doing. Around the uninsured, I think there's a number of states who are doing some really interesting experiments, Tennessee being one. They have created a small employer health insurance model where it's basically a three-share program. The employer pays a third of the premium, the employee pays a third of the premium, and the state pays a third of the premium. And this is for low-income workers in small employer groups. And I believe that they define small employer as 2 to 25, and their low income is 200% of the federal poverty line or less. So it's a really innovative program. They've seen a lot of uptake. I believe they're up to about 18,000 people enrolled in the program. I think they're doing some tweaks right now because they're learning stuff in this last year and a half. They've had this program. They're starting to learn what works, what doesn't work. Should they be focused more on preventative coverage and screening and taking out some of the other stuff? So that, I think that's really interesting. Indiana is going to be trying something similar to this, and Georgia, but they don't have their programs up and running yet. Massachusetts, of course, has been fascinating with what they've done around Medicaid expansions and the fact that they've required their employers to offer health insurance or pay a fine if they don't. In Virginia, we probably would never have an employer mandate. That's just not the route we would go, but it's interesting to watch and see if it works. And I think what they're seeing in Massachusetts is that the mandate isn't necessarily working. And while people may say, oh, the Massachusetts experiment has failed, I wouldn't consider it a failure. I think they've tried something new, they tried something innovative, and it's a good test case to say, okay, maybe this isn't the right route. So I think that's what we're seeing a lot around the uninsured.
Let me ask you this, Ariana Khalid with the Department of Health and Human Resources in Virginia. A lot of folks say, well, government shouldn't be in this business at all. This should be just totally the free market. Government should get out of this business. We should get rid of Medicare and Medicaid. And I don't know what they say about what we do for our soldiers, because our veterans, of course, that's all socialized medicine. But, you know, there's this very strong argument that we need to be out of this business entirely, and maybe health savings accounts. And what do you say to that? Because that's a lot of people believe that. Sure. And believe it very strongly.
Sure. I do think that, you know, that is certainly one position. I think the reality is that we actually regulate a lot of health care. I mean, it's already being done. And to unwind Medicaid and Medicare, I think is, to be honest, I think is virtually impossible. I suppose it could be done, but I really don't see that happening. I think it is a philosophical difference between the parties and between people. But at the end of the day, we spend so much money on health care right now. I think we've got to figure out a way to reduce that. I read the other day that I believe in 2020 it's going to be 20% of our GDP. No other countries like that, not even the socialized countries who have socialized medicine, are like that. Now, granted, they don't have our population and a size of the country that we have, but no other countries like that. So I think we need to begin to look at what are we going to do and what is the best way to do that. I think Germany has an interesting model. It's socialized, but they still have a private market. They have a great combination. Everybody pretty much has coverage, and so they're taking care of people. The other issue that I always like to point out to people is that we pay, whether it's private market or government, if the uninsured end up in the ED or the uninsured, however they get their care, we're paying for them one way or another. When your premium rates go up in your insurance, that's because the hospitals or the physicians had a whole bunch of bad debt. They had to renegotiate with the insurer. The insurer has to then find a way to pass that cost on to somebody, and that ends up falling on the employer and the consumer. And that's one of the reasons you see such rate hikes in our premiums. So one way or another, you're already paying for it. So the question is, do we try to cover everybody, or maybe all children, or look at certain segments of the population, everybody under 200% of FPL, so we get them more preventative services, we get them screened, and we catch any issues they have before it ends up in an acute intervention, which is always going to be so much more costly than managing them in a physician office.
Ariana Khalid is the Deputy Secretary of Health and Human Resources for the Commonwealth of Virginia and a graduate of the University of Virginia. Let me ask you this, and again, I think that's a very important point, that we are paying. You know, so many people say, I don't want government in this business, and I don't want socialized medicine because I don't want to have to pay for it out of public dollars. But you are paying now. I mean, with the one of the reasons our rates are so high is because there are so many uninsured. You're paying when the poor folks go to the emergency room, you're paying for that already.
That's right.
Yeah. Let me ask you, in an ideal situation, what do we do? Like, if you could, you know, you're king for a day and queen for a day, and you're running the show, and what do you wave your magic wand, and ideally, what's the situation that you'd love to see happen?
I would love to see a system, whether it's completely government-funded or some type of public-private partnership, that covers everybody. I think healthcare is important to everybody's life, and nobody should be stuck in a job or unable to work or unable to get their child the healthcare they need. To me, I just think it's such a critical part of your life, and it's a critical part of being a part of society and community that we take care of each other. So for me, ideally, whether it's all government-based or it's some kind of public-private partnership, I would hope that there would be a system where we cover everybody. The second thing I would like to see is a system where we help people make healthier decisions, we put them in healthier environments, and we focus more on prevention instead of these huge acute interventions. And finally, the third one, which I think sometimes gets talked about, but not as much, I wish we had a system where we could talk about end-of-life care more frankly, more seriously. We are a culture that does not like to discuss death and does not really want to deal with death. And so we have a lot of folks who end up in the hospital, and they keep, even though really they probably maybe should go ahead and pass on, they're resuscitated over and over again, or because the family can't let go, or they didn't leave explicit instructions for what they wanted. And so we have these huge costs in the system because we're not, as a society, really, really willing to sit down and talk about end-of-life care. So I think those are the three things for me, that if we could take care of people at the end of life, make sure we take care of them in the beginning and middle and really help them prevent having any acute interventions, and we cover the entire whole, that would be the best system. I don't know how realistic that is, but that would be the best system.
Ariana Khalid is the Deputy Secretary for Health and Human Resources in the Commonwealth of Virginia, graduate of the University of Virginia. I've enjoyed talking with you, and have a great evening.
Great. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.